Hello, welcome back to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us on our new episode. Joining me from the team today, first off, we have Neil, the treatment. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, I'm very good. And then we have Sasha, Sashman, half man, half amazing. How are you doing, Sasha?
Not that amazing today, but you know,
so half amazing today.
I'll give it a minute. You're gonna watch something that might make you feel half amazing.
That's it. I did feel amazing this afternoon when I finally got to watch the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer, which dropped today. Yeah, that was quite something. I was on the motorway traveling back from home and I saw the notification start popping up on my phone and I was looking for a place to pull over. It didn't happen. We had to get back home because the dog was waiting. So I was like, okay, I had to bide my time. But then I managed to just sit back and watch it on my big TV at home as opposed to my phone. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. So what we're actually going to do is before we delve into the trailer reaction, we're going to watch the trailer again.
All right.
All right. So yeah, like I said, Deadpool and Wolverine, but we're also going to be touching today on Blade, a few updates on that movie, which has been stuck in development hell for some time now, and a little bit of an update on Spider-Man 4 as well. So we're going to be covering that today. So definitely stick with us. But whether you have or you haven't, join us again as we now watch Deadpool and Wolverine trailer again, because let's be honest, we can't watch this too many times. It's just facts. Right. We're going for it. Trailer reaction 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
I told you, you're not welcome here. You're not welcome anywhere. Now get the fuck out of my bar.
Just give me one more drink and then I'll leave.
Hi, Peanut. I'm gonna need you to come with me right now.
Look, lady, I'm not interested.
All right, well, I'm sort of on the tick-tick, so upsy-daisy. Here we go. Oh, whiskey dick of the claws. It's quite common in Wolverines over 40.
You don't want this.
Unless you want to take a deep breath through your fucking forehead, I suggest you reconsider.
That grin. I'd love to see the outtakes for this.
I'm about to lose everything that I've ever cared about.
Not my fucking problem.
Is that what you said when your world
that suit
went
looks
to
glorious.
Shit?
I love that.
Come again.
This Wolverine let down his entire world.
Want to talk about what's haunting you, or should we wait for a third act flashback?
Go fuck yourself.
Life is a mystery.
I don't know anything about saving worlds, but you do.
Trust me, kid, I'm no hero.
You were an X-Man. You were the X-Man.
I am soaking wet right now.
Boys are so silly.
This is what I'm talking about. Big slow motion action sequence. Who knows if you live or die? Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Want to do some cocaine?
Hey. Cocaine is the one thing that Feige said is off limits.
What about Bolivian marching powder?
They know all the slang terms. They have a list.
Even snowboarding?
Even disco dust.
White girl interrupted?
Even forest bump.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Yes, but I can't.
Let's fucking go. Right. Neil, coming to you for your initial thoughts on right. the trailer. We'll break it down in a bit, but just overall, what were your feelings on it?
I liked it. Actually, I loved it until I started to notice certain things. And then when I started noticing those things, my like my love went down to like.
Oh, interesting. All right. I can't wait till we find out more about that. Sasha, overall thoughts?
Yeah, I liked it, man. Really good. Noticed a few cameos there.
Mm-hmm.
Just where the Ant-Man skull head thing was. I never noticed those two people down there. I'm not going to say their names out loud because I don't want to be the guy that spoils stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, we'll go into that. We will be doing spoilers on it and like our thoughts, predictions and stuff like that. So we'll come into that, definitely. But yeah, overall you enjoyed it then, yeah? Yeah, I did. I thought I dug it because obviously the teaser trailer, we only got sort of like the shadow and like a glimpse of Wolverine. And I think this... it gave us enough without spoiling the movie for me. It gave us enough glimpses of the dynamic between the two, the fighting, the general fact that, you know, they need this Wolverine to help save the universe, the multiverse, whatever it may be, or a certain world. I do like the fact that it is a different Wolverine as opposed to the one from Logan, and that they're not using time travel to kind of zap him out of there. But, you know, he isn't slightly older Logan. He's in his 40s, but just from a different time, different world. And yeah, I thought it just gave enough that, but at the same time, I don't want to see any more. So if there's another trailer or any TV spots, I will avoid those because I don't want to see any more of this than need be. But yeah, let's go into some of the Easter eggs and the breakdowns and stuff like that. So the recruitment, this kind of took me back quite a bit to First Class when Xavier and Magneto are going and they find Logan in the bar. One of security's like, go fuck yourself, which is what he says in this trailer. Somebody else as well. That was very kind of reminiscent of that. And also X1, right? Because we find him in a bar at the beginning of X1.
It was like, get out of my bar, freak, that thing.
Yeah. So there's a real throwback to that as well. And yeah. So obviously from the teaser trailer in this one, we're finding that obviously Deadpool's going to have to recruit Wolverine to help him do whatever he needs to do. We had the nice bit at the end of the gun, smile, wait for the flash. Love that on the end of the barrel. Where do you guys see the 20th Century Fox logo fitting into this? Is that very much kind of breaking fourth wall completely in this section? Like how do you imagine that's going to play out in the film?
I mean, I think it probably is just like breaking the fourth wall, but I think it's probably just because Deadpool's a character, he knows that if he's in a comic, he knows he's in a comic. If he's in a game, he knows he's in a game. If he's in a film, he knows he's in a film. So I can imagine that the idea of him, like it either being like a loading station between worlds, or just being a world that's destroyed, because obviously 20th Century Fox doesn't exist anymore. So
that's right.
It can be like, this is the world that was, and it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Sasha, any thoughts on how they might fit that in? Or is it just like Neil said, it's just a reference as opposed to something we don't need to look into in too much detail?
Well, I'd like to hope that they're just destroying the Fox universe in that. maybe we could have all. Maybe we could have all iterations of Fantastic Four. Maybe we can have Jessica Alba roll up and fucking, you know, the Fan Four stick. You know, maybe they could do some cross pollination and some craziness. Because look, at the moment, all gloves are off here. Now, here's the thing with Logan as the Logan movie. They always said that it wasn't connected to anything else. It was its own standalone thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't connected to Days of Future Past. Neil's looking at like if that's fresh information, but that's what.
No, because it is connected to New Mutants.
Then someone fucked up in continuity at Fox then.
Okay. Okay. Sounds about right. There's no surprise.
That, like, that's new information.
What James Marigold said. So, you know, and I think, you know, that at least that's a version of Logan that exists. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or has existed. This clearly is a different Logan, you know, maybe not the one from X2 and all of those films.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was. Maybe it's the Days of Future Past Logan, you know, in that effed up future, or maybe it's another variation of Logan where he has killed the X-Men. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then they mentioned, but then maybe not, because they mentioned how he must have saved the universe or something. So I don't know, man, what happened to this guy, but we'll yeah, find out when the movie comes out. So all kids' gloves are off, really, with what they can do with it. I'm intrigued to see whether any members of the TVA from the Loki show show up, like whether it be Owen Wilson's character or what's his name, the guy from Indiana Jones. And yeah, we'll have to see, man. I'm interested to see what cameos they bring in from the Fox universe, because there have been rumors that like bare X-Men are in it. So we'll have to see, man. I'm looking forward to it. This is the only MCU movie I'm looking forward to, so we'll see.
Well, luckily it's the only one coming out this year.
It's the only one this year, absolutely. What do you think of the suit now you've seen it in live action as opposed to just the pictures?
It looks a lot better than in the pictures now that I've seen it moving. He's still pretty damn tall. It's weird when you see, it's just for me as a comic fan and grown up with the comics, it's just very weird seeing yellow suit Logan more or less the same height as Wade Wilson, because when they walk together, I'm just like, that don't look right. Like, don't get me wrong, they look right, but that don't look right. You know what I mean? It looks weird. You know what I mean?
Like, you know, it's off-putting.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's like even, but then that's the comic book fanboy in me, because they've got the costumes looking pretty on point. And it's the same thing I had a problem with Cable, because here's the thing. When I see Cable, I'm expecting like a giant of a man.
Yeah.
Like maybe Alan Richardson's stature. And do you know what I mean? Like, but we got Josh Brolin, you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, That's fine. He did the role good and it was a good film. But do you see what I mean? When you're used to, like, if they're going to be comic accurate, then in look, that's the only thing that's a bit jarring for me. But it's a minor thing. It's a minor thing. Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be great. And plus, like, from the picture, they've obviously released more stills and stuff. Now that I've seen what he looks like with the full garb on and stuff, and he's hunched down like if he's like in Children of the Atom and shit, I'm like, I want to see him with... Look, here's the thing. If they could have Hugh Jackman with that helmet on, they could CGI that shit, and man could be Wolverine forever, okay? If X-Men 97 has taught me anything, is that Wolverine is best as a side guy, okay? Okay, if he's a side guy for the next 12 movies and he's 80 something and he don't take that thing off, and when he does it's a CGI thing, I'm good with that, all right? Because he's look, at this point he's our Wolverine, all right?
Yes.
So as long as he wants to do it, I'm good with it. To be quite honest, if they were going to recast, this is the time to do it. You know what I mean? This movie is the time to do it. Don't honey dick us with the same shit. You know what I mean? And then at this point now, they shouldn't do it. You know what I mean? They should have done it day one. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but this is more because of the relationship with Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. This is kind of what we want to see. We wanted to see Deadpool with a Wolverine we know as opposed to a new Wolverine. Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if this Wolverine ends up dying in this movie and we get then our alternate universe, multiverse Logan. Mm. He might even appear in this movie. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe it's Danny DeVito.
It could be Danny DeVito.
If Danny DeVito shows up as Logan, I'll cry with laughter.
So there's obviously there's kind of two parts of this. Like Sasha mentioned, they talk about the fact that he didn't save his world, but then obviously Deadpool says you know how to save the world. So there's a little bit of a conflict in there, but. We see kind of Wolverine in the white t-shirt. He's kind of walking past these stones. I mean, imagine they're all graves, right? They're probably from the X-Men from his world. That's what I'm thinking. All those rows of stones are probably gravestones.
Kind of like those statues on, is it, what's the name of it? Is it Easter Island?
Easter Island, yeah.
No, the real place, Easter Island.
Oh, like, the real place, Easter Island. Head.
So,
okay, right. No, these are like just a long row. So there's just a
maybe it is graves.
So it might be that. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the bit where they just come out together and just walk out center stage, just great. We get a first clip of Cassandra Nova. Do you guys know much about her? Neil, can you enlighten us?
Yeah, she is. It's a bit weird. She is Professor Xavier's twin sister.
yeah,
who he killed in the womb because he could read her thoughts and knew she was evil.
Mm.
So, yeah, and I'm like, when I say killed in the womb, I mean, for those of you, whether you're listening to this or watching this, Google Cassandra Nova, Charles Xavier fight in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he kills her in the womb. Like, you know. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That I did not know. I knew that was a sister.
He handles his business. Right.
So maybe this is the version that she kills him in the womb, right? So.
Well, that's the thing is he kills her in the womb, but she manages to survive somehow and manages to like basically move. She basically Palpatines it and she like moves DNA to be able to like recreate herself.
Right. Somehow she returns. Right.
Yes. Okay. Right. But
well, that's how Shredder returned in the Turtles comics.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was sliced in half. Mm, in half. And then some mutant worms. Mutant
shark, wasn't it?
No, there was something to do with mutant worms or something in the garbage and all kinds of Ninja Turtles went cray cray. With no common sense or science to it, man. So
so then, okay. So it'll be interesting. We get a glimpse of her showing her powers, like controlling Wolverine when he tries to attack her. So, you know, she's, you know, I don't think it's, I don't believe it's a magnetic ability in terms of it's telekinesis, right? Mm-hmm. But what I found interesting is if you take a little glimpse at a screenshot of her as she's coming out of what we're going to talk about in a minute, there it looks like there's a wheelchair behind her. So I think the tease is going to be she's going to come out in a wheelchair with a silhouette because she's bald. Mm. You think it's Xavier, and then she stands up and we get introduced with her like that. There's a small little glimpse of her wheelchair behind her. So then we've got Giant Man Ant-Man's head, and I have to say the first time I watched it I thought it was just the helmet, but then it wasn't until I watched it the second time I realized, oh hang on, there's a skull in that helmet. So that is some dark shit
that I didn't like.
Right, is that where you dropped from love to like down.
Because I said it's a thing of, let's be honest, right? Wolverine and Deadpool are without a doubt, when it comes to film universe, they are arguably the most popular two Marvel characters, right? Mm-hmm. We all love Spider-Man, we all love the Avengers and Iron Man and that, but let's be honest here, right? Wolverine, there's a reason there's more appearances of Wolverine than anyone else, right? Mm-hmm. And there is also a reason why Deadpool, up until I think it was It Chapter One, Deadpool was the highest grossing R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. There is a reason why these characters are that. And I think this is the one time you don't need to show anything. You just show them, and you show them having their interactions with each other. You know, the, go fuck yourself, go fuck yourself. Oh, you know, all the jokes, the things that they can say, you don't need to show something as eye-opening as, you know, a dead Ant-Man.
Right, so it's a bit too much shown in the trailer for you.
Yeah, because the thing is as well, I'm gonna, it's not a spoiler, but I'm gonna say that seeing that vision, that moment of a dead Ant-Man and his skull is now a base, it was giving me Old Man Logan vibes.
And I think potentially this, they may be interjecting this Wolverine just before he's like, or during his old Logan story, because correct me if I'm wrong, Old Man Logan is Mysterio tricks him into thinking that he's killed
all the villains,
and it may be a case of they lean straight into that, and that's exactly what this is, and maybe he's the one who's killed Giant Man, because again, it's not just the helmet. When you go back and watch it's the arms. So like he's actually just like face down, like on the ground, and the head's up, and they open the base. But like Sasha said, we also get a glimpse of some other characters, outside. From what I saw, we had Lady Deathstrike outside there. We had Toad from the first X-Men. We also had
Azazel was there.
Azazel from first class.
Yeah.
And who else did we have?
Deathstrike.
Lady
Deathstrike.
Yeah, Deathstrike. We had the Speedster. I think was it from X3? Speedster. Yeah, she's there. And there might have been a couple of others who I couldn't quite make out. So did you guys notice Pyro's any others?
Because Pyro was in the
Pyro's in the trailer. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, it's quite a few characters there, so
It wouldn't surprise me if, I mean, initially our mindset is like, oh, it's going to be chocked full of cameos. And I think everyone's mind automatically goes to the X-Men.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we're looking at a world where the X-Men have lost, it'd probably be more prevalent to have a bunch of villains.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and it was like, we saw villains from multiple different worlds. And I was like, why not?
Chances of Elektra and Ben Affleck's Daredevil showing up?
Highly
zero. Yeah, I do.
I'm going to put money. I'm going to put legit money. I reckon £10, Elektra shows up.
Yeah,
Was rumors of Elektra, actually, wasn't there? Yeah, there was.
Elektra turning up, that I can believe. Daredevil turning up, I find it difficult to believe because I think really and truly Ben Affleck has sort of like moved beyond superhero.
Well, he did say there's one producer he would not say no to in a heartbeat.
And was that?
It was.
His initials KF?
Yeah, it was.
Well, then.
There could be galore. Yeah. They could go to cutscenes like you had in First Class of the recruiting stage.
Yeah.
It could be Wade Wilson jumping around trying to recruit people before Wolverine and all these other X-Men or something, turning him down.
Here's the weird thing, right? I'm going to point out something, and this is just the comic book nerd in me.
Mm-hmm.
So in Old Man Logan, the comics, Hawkeye is the person who recruits Logan to go on this mission with him.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, that's right.
Hawkeye is blind in that version. And I think, obviously, because of his real life situation, chances are they didn't get Jeremy Renner. But if you need a blind hero to turn up, who it would be fun to have there and potentially kill off.
Yeah.
There's a blind lawyer who used to roam around Hell's Kitchen. just saying, you know.
Just saying, yeah. That's a good point.
By having him there and probably not make it, it clears the pathway for a little bit later on, either this year, where we see Daredevil, you know, reborn, or, you know, it's possibilities.
Chances are for Wesley Snipes to show up.
Yeah. That I'm gonna give it like 1% out.
You know what? I'm gonna raise it to 5 because you know what? I'm gonna hold out for hope that our boy, if there's any movie that he's going to, it's this one. Do you know why? Because they're not doing MCU stuff, they're doing all this Elseworlds
in the world. Yeah,
that's why I'm opening it up as an example. I think everyone's game. To be honest,
the only reason I'm dubious about that is because that film was made by New Line, and New Line are part of Warner Brothers right now, and it wouldn't surprise me if they were like, "Oh, you want Blade? Yeah, well, I got two words for you."
Well, no, because Disney own all of that now. They own
the character rights of Blade. Do they own Blade? Blade is a film made by New Line Cinema.
They own that now.
Own everything.
Okay, well, it's possible.
It's possible.
I mean, highly unlikely for me.
Yes, it's highly unlikely, especially when they're trying to bring in a new Blade. I think when you're trying to launch a new franchise,
hey, until day one of shooting is complete, I don't believe it's happening now. They keep pushing it back. Yeah. May I add, Stephen Dorff, who trashes the MCU on the daily, Yeah, there's reasons for that. Apparently, I don't know whether you guys knew this, but he and one of the producers up at New Line, they were making a what's his character called in
the Deacon Frost?
Deacon Frost. They were going to do a Deacon Frost trilogy of films. Wow. I was like, how? He dead. But and you're older. You know what I mean? But they were legit doing a Deacon Frost trilogy of films, and it's about vampires and vampire society and all of this shit. Mm. And he was going hard. He was writing the script himself even. And like literally he spent like several years doing this thing only for Marvel to we have the rights now. It's not happening.
So well, I'm not being funny, but that's as lucky as that might sound for him.
Yeah.
He has been an actor in the film industry for long enough to understand that that is
how it works. Yeah,
that's how the business how goes.
It
works.
Whether we like it or not, you know, I would love to have seen, you know, David Hayter's Black Widow film.
Oh, but, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. You know, 100%. That should, no, dude, stop. Just stop.
Yeah, we can't talk about Black Widow with Sasha. We just let's move on. Yeah, well, okay.
Could you pause for a moment? A Black Widow film written by Solid Snake of Metal Gear Solid. I'm in. I'm in. Yeah, if you 100%. Want those other credentials, X-Men 1 and X-Men 2. Done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Diver.
Oh yeah.
Diver. Diver Dark Hero.
He starred in it.
Yeah.
In X-Men 1, he was a security guard. He got taken out by Toad.
Mm. Right, we also got Dogpool in the trailer. Brief show him. We're supposed to have Lady Deadpool in this, which we think we saw as in the first teaser trailer, because we saw the Uzis being used, and that's something with the red gloves, which is something that Lady Deadpool. But we didn't see any more of her. And then we saw the teleporting. So we got the rings, and it's like, okay, so is that a Wong thing? Is it a Doctor Strange thing? Is there another character in this? Because When you watch the trailer back, it's them jumping out of the skull. So obviously they're escaping Nova, and they're jumping into another universe. We don't know what it is. I would have thought the is very white in the trailer. I don't know if they just blacked it out for the trailer, or whether you'll see a glimpse of the universe when we know in the actual movie.
Yeah.
But obviously they're jumping into somewhere else. So this is very much a multiverse or a movie, or is it a case of just a different location on that same Earth? We don't know. So how do you think that's going to work? Do you think that is like a Wong thing, or do you?
No. I genuinely think, again, this is the comic book nerd in me, two very specific stories that ring to my mind are Future Imperfect, the Incredible Hulk story, and as I said, Old Man Logan, where when a villain is in charge and they have all of these little trinkets and stuff from heroes. Right. And I can just imagine all it is somebody has like a sling ring from one of the sorcerers, maybe of that world. And then maybe it's something to the effect of like Wade gets it and puts it on. And it wouldn't surprise me if he plays with it and it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
it's a good shout.
It's him and because so far, other than, you know, the students at the temple, right, at the sanctum. Mm-hmm. Ned in the Spider-Man films is the only person I've seen use it. So, and wouldn't it just fit perfectly if Wade Wilson, the most irresponsible person in all of Marvel,
suddenly is able to use
it. Is able to use the sling ring.
Yeah. And you know there'd be a joke about Glory Hole or something in there as well.
Yeah.
So... Okay, cool. There has this weird Mad Max thing with all the motorbikes pulling along that thing. There's some, you know, so obviously there's some big set pieces in the desert there. Those are the main key points of the trailer. Was there anything else in the trailer you guys wanted to chat about?
When I see it, it looks similar to I think there's a bit of the trailer that reminds me of Age of Ultron, the beginning when they're in Sokovia and they're in the forest.
So yeah, that was very much more prevalent in the teaser, but we got a glimpse of it in here where he's fighting those TVA agents.
And I can just imagine that would be used. because it could be a throwaway joke or it could be something really meaningful, but you know, it could be like, oh, you know, he kills a bunch of other agents and then the TVA turn up and they're like, you're fucking up this universe, and he's like, whatever, they're bad guys, I can kill bad guys.
yeah absolutely. Well, look, we're all gonna be there day one. No doubt we'll be watching it together. So Ronald Deadpool. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about Blade, because Sasha posted something this morning, which really did make me laugh. And it was a post by Cosmic Marvel on Twitter. And they said, Blade will reportedly start filming this summer in Mexico. The film is said to be stripped down to Mahershala Ali killing vampires.
So you should. And
it's like, what the fuck have you been doing? That this is not the core premise of your Blade movie. It's taken this long to get to this point. And how many people have been trying to write this script? How many directors have been dropping out? As Sasha said, until it actually starts filming, I just don't believe it's going to happen. Sasha, talk to me about Blade.
So, okay, this has been... I'm going to still cherry pick this as rumor, okay? But it's been on all the other sites and stuff, and a lot of YouTubers have been talking about it because the script got leaked literally about a year ago, and basically it was a period piece. It wasn't set in the modern day, it was a period piece because they're vampires, they live forever. Blade wasn't the main character, his daughter was the main character. He was a side guy in his own movie. It was literally her and her posse of, you know, vampire chicks slaying other vampires, you know, slaying white slavers. That was the premise to the Blade movie. Mahershala Ali read it and he was like, I'm only in it for like, this is an ensemble piece. I thought I was the guy. It's called Blade. You know what I mean? What? So it's a case of they've been trying to rework it and retry it because they're overcomplicating it by making it more than what it needs to be. They're trying to make it about the daughter and not Blade. And look, here's the thing, all right? I'm very pro-Wesley, okay? If you're going to do a daughter thing and have him be an older Blade, you may as well keep Snipes. Because it's like, you know, because at least then I can say, at least we've had our Blade films, you know what I mean? That are in continuity, whether you want to keep them in continuity or not. At least I can say, at least we've got like two great movies and now we got this for the new people that you make stuff for. You know what I mean? If you're saying we're getting a brand new Blade and it's a almost 60-year-old actor, and I'm like, not that. Look, I love Mahershala Ali, but I said this from day one. If they're going to get Blade, get a younger guy who's a martial artist and can whoop some ass. You know what I mean? Perfect role for young up-and-comer. I mean, hell, who's on Power Rangers these days? You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. It's not that freaking hard, man. It's just like, you get someone with screen presence, audition the hell out of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
look at Cobra Kai. Oh, they can do all martial arts. It's like, it's not hard to find these guys. You said, Sasha, he's 50 years old now.
Yeah.
When they announced it, they announced it in 2019.
Yeah. That's right.
That's how long it was. 5 years since they announced this movie. So and the only thing we've got is a voiceover at the end of Eternals.
So the further and further it goes, the less and less are, you know, it's kind of like, this was my point. My point was, you may as well go with Wesley. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're going to get someone that old, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I get that Mahershala Ali is a great actor. He even does look the part. You see those Battle Angel Alita trailers when they had that shot of him in the trailer. Everyone thought it. Everyone thought Blade. You know what I mean? Until we figured out how old he was. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, the biggest difference for me between him and Snipes is Snipes still keeps the martial arts up. You know, he's still, because martial arts is part of his life. So he's very able. It's just a case of whether Marvel want to carry on with an older guy. But, you know, personally, if it's a reboot, you get a younger guy that's in their early 30s. You know what I mean? And just go nuts. Hell, I'd take a 28-year-old just to get a few years out of the guy. You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. It depends on story and what they're doing and stuff. But look, here's the thing. This is what expected from a Blade movie. Just Blade slaying vampires, okay? It doesn't need to be anything more or anything That's what people are coming to see. They're not coming to see white slavers or whatever the hell that is, and his daughter slaying vampires. I mean, bring her along, sure. Maybe if you want to do that and have some father-daughter slaying vampires thing, fine. But, like, putting the politics into Blade, it's unnecessary, man. People just want a good look at this part, at this point, Disney. All right, I just want to have a good time at the movies without being preached to. Okay, yeah. I want to see Blade murk some serious heads. When I look at Blade One, and I've watched Blade One quite a few times during lockdown, okay, I've seen it so many times. You look at that, yes, it's cheesy, but that's part of the charm. All right, it's cheesy as hell, but you know what? You know what? Like, that is an intro. That is an intro to a character that cannot be topped. All right. I said, look, we already have to come to terms that it's going to be a 12A. All right. Who knows? Maybe Deadpool Wolverine will open up the R rating. You know what I mean? I hope it does, because I'm sorry to live in a world where Blade is a 12A. You've already failed to me as a Blade fan. You know what I mean? And that first film and that second film, it's so hard to top. So it's a losing battle, in my opinion. But I feel very strongly about that. Can it be done? Can it be better? Depends on the filmmaker. But because filmmakers don't have control over these movies, then, you know what I mean? I can't really say anything. Because, you know, Gareth Edwards, is it Gareth Edwards or Gareth? Who's the guy that did The Raid?
Oh.
Gareth Evans, okay? Gareth Evans, all right? He wanted to do a martial arts film that was 12A, and he even shot a whole martial arts scene with the two guys from Eco Oise and the guy. He shot a whole martial arts scene with these guys having sword fights and stuff, and it was filmed as a 12A kind of thing. But it still had the ferociousness that you would from anything he shot as an 18. You know what I mean? And I'm like, look, if you want someone to direct a Blade film, get the guy that did The Raid. Just fucking do it. You know what I mean? Get someone that knows how to shoot the shit, itching to do what he does and be at a more palpable audiences. Hell, if you say the fucking director of The Raid was directing the next Blade film, everyone will be there. You know what I mean? Every martial arts fan will be there. I mean, hell, you know what? David Leitch could save that stuff, but he's the most wanted director ever, so that's not going to happen. He's doing Highlander now, and then Ghost of Tsushima, and they're going to be better than this.
I'll be honest, right? Marvel, if any of you are listening, don't get Gareth Evans.
No? Oh, because of Gangs of New York? No, Gangs of London.
No, it's terrible. No, because if they get Gareth Evans, every single Marvel film after that suffers. Because you can't do action. Think of what The Raid did to every other action movie, right? And then imagine you're like, oh, we're going to get the guy who did that, the guy who basically toppled
the action
movies, and we're going to get him to do a Marvel action movie. And then, you know, like the next movie, wherever it is, oh, here's a guy blasting energy from his hands. No. Him doing an action movie, will be two hours of the opening scene of X-Men 97. Of Cyclops' opening. Right?
It's there's enough guys out there who know their action. Like Sasha said, you've got to keep it simple, stupid. You know, it's a very simple story. And look at director of John Wick 4, Chad Stahelski. You know, someone like that. They could just nail this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The cinematography you got in that movie with the fight scenes and the choreography was first class. Just get him. Him directing a Blade movie would just be fantastic. He's just swapping out guns for swords.
Me and Neil we'll get on this. We'll make a Blade short film. It'll come out this movie comes
out. Show us how it will do. Yeah, absolutely.
It will.
Have you guys got any ideas of who you cast instead of Mahershala Ali at this point? Neil probably does,
audition,
but
I do a strong audition. I don't have anyone in my mind, but for real, I'd be looking for an unknown or someone that's upcoming talent that's done a few things. I'd literally be like, cool, well, here's the Jackie Chan stunt team, here's Here's Yan Wu Ping. We've hired him for the day. All right, let's go. Yan, what do you think? You've won a point. What's his acting like? You know what I mean? You audition that shit properly, okay? Because I would personally get a young up and comer. That's it. I don't have a specific name, but all I know is I want to. If I was making a Blade movie, it's to make a star out of somebody, and you get an A-lister as Whistler. And you know what I mean? Yeah. Whoever that person is, Whistler would be recast because you can't get, you know, my man's too old. So I'd be get an A-lister as Whistler, get a young unknown as Blade, get a big name for the villain. Done. You know what I mean? Done.
Cool. Neil, did you have any ideas?
I mean, I'll be honest. The first name that comes to my head. Is John David Washington. I had creative control, I would delay the movie for a straight year. I would cast him, delay the movie for a year, and just say, okay, John, I would make sure the second we're in talks, I'd be like, if you're interested, you need to clear your schedule. You need a year where you ain't making movies.
And so you do with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
You do
with Keanu Reeves. What they did for The Matrix. I'm like, a year, you're not making a year to get into shape. And give me 6 months where Monday through Friday, all you're doing is martial arts. In the morning, you're doing yoga, you're doing stretches. In the evening, you are doing combat training. You are learning because I'm never going to get you to be Wesley Snipes that fast. Because that's someone who trained martial arts and then became an actor. I'm not getting that, but you have all of the acting chops that I need for you to be Blade. Yeah. I just need your fighting skills up to par.
Well, that was the thing with Wesley Snipes. He didn't audition for Blade. He went and got the rights. He went and became Blade. He was like, I'm Blade.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. When you think about it, because when you think about it, initially, he didn't even want to do Blade.
He wanted to do Black Panther.
Yeah, he wanted to make Black Panther. And then they were like, nah, you can't do that. Or they found it difficult to believe. They found the idea of Wakanda too difficult to believe. So then he did Blade.
Yeah. And now people think it's a real place. That's how far we've come as a society. Yeah.
But it's not him. There is an actor who I'm furiously looking up his name. But there is one actor who I'm like, if I had to cast a young actor and this young actor is going to be Blade, then it would be. Let me make
when
sure.
When you I say young, what age are you thinking?
I would like imagine 20s, 30s. I would imagine he's in his probably early 30s. All right, he was born in 1997.
Okay.
Right. Is an actor named Michael Ward.
Michael Ward.
Why does that name sound familiar?
What's he
been in? In a number of films and TV shows. So he is in Bob Marley, One Love. He's in the Book of Clarence. I think the most famous thing he's
Top
done
Boy.
So
You're known from Top Boy, Sasha.
Yeah. Who does he play in Top Boy?
Jamie.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He's 26.
26? Perfect. Because I'm like, you can be Blade a long time.
Yeah.
Now,
not Sully, though. Thing. Not Sully? Not Kano?
No, Kano.
Okay, he's a bit older. Michael Ward. You know what? Yeah. I could see it. No, now that you say it, I could see Michael Ward as a young Blade.
Yeah.
He's just got,
That's it. I mean, like, you know, I pin him, I say, yeah, that's.
I was joking about Kano, by the way, but, you know.
Yeah. You know, you look at that and I'm like, I see Michael Ward as Blade. As long as you give him them 6 months, and look, there was a guy, he's in his 20s, late 20s. Cool. Perfect. Perfect ripe age to be learning martial arts for 6 months.
I could actually see it
because my problem has always been, I'm gonna say this and it's horrible when I say it, but I don't mean it in the supremely negative way that it will sound, is that if Mahershala Ali didn't win an Oscar, I don't think he'd be Blade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think they'd look at it and they would say, they you were cotton mouth in Luke Cage. You did an excellent job. Thank you, but we're going a different way. I think he is, at the time that he was cast to be Blade, I think he was just the most ideal candidate because he had name recognition, he had talent recognition.
He was coming off an Oscar win.
Yeah.
Because they were announcing him and Brie Larson, you're like, Oscar winners, like, we've got the talent here at Marvel.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is you're saying, look, it's not just unknowns or mid-level fame. It's like, we're actually getting Oscar winners and we're not getting like Oscar winners to play side characters. Now they're actually one movie main villains. Characters.
Yeah, absolutely. But like you say, you know, it's been 5 years since the announcement and, you know, to launch the film, I don't know how old he'll be when it come out, but it's going to be another at least a year before it comes out, a year and a half, you know, be 51 at least. And it's just a case of how long do you plan to keep this character around? Are you planning on doing like a one Blade movie and then, like Sasha said, handing it over to a younger daughter? And it's just like, that's not going to please fans. That's a mistake. No. And I would say, if I had creative control, I'd be pulling that plug right now and saying, nah, we need to go in a different direction. Because we've not seen him on screen. It's not like, you know, it's not like the end of Eternals. We saw Blade on screen. We're like, okay, this is our Blade now. It was just a voiceover. Yeah. We haven't seen anything. It's still opportunities to redo it. And someone I had in mind, kind of mid-30s, Corey Hawkins.
Yeah.
So straight out of Compton, he did the 24 Legacy TV series.
Oh, yeah.
In the Color Purple. Yeah. Six Underground, and I just think, you know, he's someone who could kind of deliver in that role, and he's like mid-30s, and would you do like an origin story for Blade, or you just have him as Blade? Like the first movie was just like, he's Blade,
this is his story. No, I would, see, the thing is, I would do an origin story because the first iteration of Blade we got, we didn't essentially get an origin story. We saw what happened to his mother, she was bitten by a vampire, we saw him as Blade, and we got a little bit of exposition when, you know, the realization that his mother is now a vampire.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which works for the film, for that film, because you're telling that story. But this is the MCU. People want to know, right? You think about it. We knew who Black Panther was in Civil War. But the second he got his own movie, we got an origin.
Yeah,
it might not have been a full origin, but it was the little bit of origin about him, the origin of Killmonger, how it, you know, it was, it, you know, we got information. Yeah. So unless you're going to give relevant information.
That's the other thing. I'd actually introduce him in a different film before you get his debut as well.
Agreed.
Yeah, I would love to put him in a Spider-Man film, you know, before, like if you're going to do the team up with Kingpin, that'd be one way to go about it, you know. Not putting any vampires in, but just have him in there as part of the mix, you know? But
maybe he'll be in Morbius 2. Who knows?
Maybe. Multiverse.
Right. You take some bold things on this podcast.
Hey, look, I no longer care about stuff anymore, so I'm coming up with outlandish batshit stuff, man. Seriously.
I can't get Morbius 2, and I'm like, Morbius 1 came out twice.
Morbius 2 is Morbin time. It's right. That's our pretty much coverage of Blade. Like I said, there's not much to talk about other than the fact that we're still waiting for it to happen. It's supposed to be starting filming, but if we had creative control, we would be going in a different direction. So before we were recorded this podcast, because Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman and Sean Levy dropped this trailer on us, we were going to be talking about Spider-Man. And that we're going to touch on it briefly today, and then we're going to have a full episode in a couple of weeks' time where we're going to talk about Spider-Man, what next? So if we had creative control, what would we do with Spider-Man? Not necessarily just Tom Holland's Spider-Man, but we have Tobey Maguire's out there still. We have Andrew Garfield's. What would we do with Spider-Man? What next? Tom Holland recently just had an interview and he was posed a couple of questions. So I just want to touch on this briefly to kind of set us up for our next episode. And they said, are you coming back to do Spider-Man 4? And he said, and I quote, the simple answer is that I'll always want to do Spider-Man films. I owe my life and career to Spider-Man. So the simple answer is yes, I'll always want to do more. The more complicated answer, Tom added, is how he and Spider-Man team approach any follow-up to Spider-Man as a third title you know, with the third, you know, they don't want to retread past themes. We have the best in the business working towards whatever the story might be, but until we've cracked it, we have a legacy to protect. The third movie was so special in so many ways that we need to make sure we do the right thing. And he also added, this is the first time in the process that I've been a part of the creative so early. It's just a process where I'm watching and learning. It's just a really fun stage for me. Like I said, everyone wants it to happen, but we want to make sure we're not overdoing the same things. So I think a lot of this tracks back to what we've heard recently a lot in the news, is where Sony want it to be multiverse. They want Toby back. They want Andrew back. They want to go big and bold like the last one. Feige and Marvel want to keep it low. They want to keep it street level. They want to keep it friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And it sounds like this, that Tom wants the same, you know, and I think he deserves it. You know, he needs his own movie again, because when he first started out, he's a young up-and-comer. We don't know him. Iron Man was his buddy. He got him through the film. Yeah. You know, Robert Downey Jr. helped with all that marketing, really pushed that. Next, you know, he had a decent villain and, you know, great actor alongside him in terms of Jake Gyllenhaal with Mysterio. Then we have the other Spider-Mans coming back. We just need some basic Peter Parker doing Peter Parker things, Peter Parker lifestyle, struggling to pay rent. Like we saw him like in his own apartment at the end of the movie, trying to find his place in the world and juggling all these things. This is where we need to go back to. We don't want, I personally do not want a big spectacle again like we got in No Way. It was great. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite Spider-Man movies, but it is done. Leave it alone now. We can still do stuff with the other Spider-Man. That's absolutely fine. But let's leave Tom out of it for now. What are your guys' thoughts? Sasha?
Without going too much, because it goes into the bigger question.
Yeah.
I think, streetwise, you know, streetwise, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, that's what they set up in the last one. That's what they should commit to. If Sony want to do big, bold Spider-Verse stuff, they should take a leaf from Marvel. You have to build stuff up. You know, it's the difference between making a good movie and a crap movie. And it's also a difference between making just $1 billion on one movie and maybe $4, $5, $6 billion on the next 5, 10 movies. Okay. Yeah. These, Avi Arad, you have tunnel vision. You need to stop it. This is why you're a failure. Okay. You can only do one thing at a time and it's a potluck thing. Because let's face it, you're not the brains. I'm giving you free advice. Okay. I ain't getting paid. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen to the next podcast, Avi, and come to our side, man. We'll do it for free. We'll give you the advice for free. And like, you know, you can put a thanks in the credit. I'll take that. Here we go.
That's right. That's right. Neil, what are your thoughts on what Tom had to say?
I totally agree with him. I totally agree with him. And I think the reality is he is very subtly choosing. He's very subtly aligning himself with Kevin Feige and Kevin Feige's way of thinking, as opposed to those at Sony and their way of thinking. And I think the reality is, we've seen Tom Holland's Spider-Man, right, has been nothing but involved in major business. Right? Yeah. He's been involved in major business. And the reason I say that is, even though Homecoming and Far From Home were his stories, they were about him dealing with his villains, it's the fact that Homecoming was him trying to be Spider-Man under the mentorship of Iron Man.
Yes.
And
off the back of Civil War, which he got thrown into.
Yeah. And Far From Home was him being Spider-Man without the mentorship of Iron Man.
Yeah, and trying to live up to the legacy.
Yeah, and then No Way Home was him finding his way as Spider-Man amongst Spider-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's sort of like, you know, we haven't had a story which is, this is Tom Holland,
this is Peter Parker,
Spider-Man. Yeah. That's it.
Well, so Sony are just looking at the bank that last movie made, and they just want to recapture it. That's all it is, but it won't have the same payoff. If you throw them all back together in the next movie, it's not going to happen. But Sasha, I'll just come back to you just to finish this off, because obviously we're going to talk about this in much more depth in a future episode. Go ahead, Sasha.
That's the thing. We've never really had a pure Spider-Man film where it's just thing. And this is why Andreas is wrong, because Spider-Man 2 is the greatest Spider-Man film ever made. Still today, because it solely focuses on Spider-Man. No fucking cameos, no fucking this and that. Yeah, you hear Doctor Strange because it's a fly-on-the-wall reference, but do you know what I mean? Like, look, that is a pure Spider-Man movie. And did it deliver fan service? No, it didn't. It had one great villain, the greatest villain they've ever had in any of the damn films, because he still is, okay? Agreed. I would argue tooth and nail, okay, that he's the best, followed by Michael Keaton's Vulture, okay? Like, hands down, okay? Doc Ock was the guy. And on top of that, the best scene in the movie, for me anyway, isn't all the action. It's when he turns around to Aunt May and confesses what happened with Uncle Ben, you know?
Yeah.
That was such a shock in the cinema for me. I remember watching that. It was like, damn, he told her. Yeah, I mean, and that scene sums up everything you need to know about Peter Parker as a character, as a person, whatever. Yeah, I mean, no Spider-Man film has ever been able to convey that more purely than anything that Sam Raimi does. And that's why he's the right person to do a Spider-Man film. That's why he's the only person that's ever understood what it takes to make a Spider-Man film. Yeah, you can shit on him for Spider-Man 3, but that was a studio, you know, you're up against the studio. A lot of
interference.
You know what I mean, he caved. He should have pushed back, but he wanted to do a good job for the studio that had given him the opportunity. You know what I mean? Same with Multiverse of Madness. He was given an opportunity by a studio, you know, to do a studio film. I don't blame him for stuff like that. If you want to see real Sam Raimi making all the creative choices, watch all of his other works. You know what I mean? Like, what did he do after Spider-Man 3? He did Drag Me to Hell. That was like one of the best. That was a fantastic horror film. You know what I mean? That's showing him. That was him turning around to the world. I still got it. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, what you got to understand is, before Spider-Man, all right, Spider-Man 1 was his whole life's work leading up to, you know, to get this blockbuster film on a character that he grew up with and loved more than anything and do it right, okay? He did it right. When Sony were like, Green Goblin's the villain, he's like, right, well, we've only got one shot with the Green Goblin. And I'm telling you, the only problem I have with Spider-Man 1 is the fact that they picked the Green Goblin. Not that it was done bad. It wasn't. It was done with perfection. No, but if you pick the Green Goblin as a villain, the movie now plays even more like a checklist. You have you have the origin story, and then if man doesn't get harpooned by a glider, people are going to have some problems, like me. Yeah. And I
needed to be a build-up.
Yeah. And I got everything I wanted from that film. But you know what makes Spider-Man 2 a better film? They pick a villain that, at the time in the comics, didn't die. They picked a villain that you could do anything with, and they made the best movie possible. And he did that with, you know, bringing all his A game from every other film he ever worked on and threw it all into that movie and made gold. Okay.
Yeah.
And basically, like, I want to see whoever the next, you know what, I need to direct something, okay? Send me that gig, okay? Seriously, I'll give you gold.
Nah, it's a really great shout, Sasha, and you know, it's they are appreciated, those movies, but not in the same level when you saw them the first time in cinema, or, you know, from what we had before. And we can often get lost, like Sasha said, with the characters and how they're portrayed on screen with who they're put with, and you lose the essence and some of the core of those characters, and that is what's missing with the Spider-Man films. And we're going to be talking about Spider-Man What's Next in a couple of weeks. Our next episode, we're going to be looking at our top 10 films of 1988. If you're not familiar with that series, basically we look back at every year since 1980 and we're doing our top 10 list for every year, and we started off with 1980. Last episode was 87, we're moving on to 88. Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching us wherever you may be. You can catch the video version of this podcast on YouTube, and the audio version is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and every major podcast platform. And that's it. So thank you very much. Peace out.
Peace.